listening to KLYT. Welcome back to ABQ Connect.
Adam Holtz joins us from Focus on the Families Plugged In. Adam, thanks again for coming back and spending some time with us. Always great to get caught up.
Yeah, always love getting caught up, Steve. Thanks for so much for having me on today.
Okay, I'm going to use, I like to think that I'm up to speed, but I'm not. and I'll go to an old guy reference here to kind of throw this to you. But, you know, back to Terminator, you know, yes. A lot of people, when AI first popped up its head and people said, oh, it's Terminator all over again. And actually, at the beginnings of, you know, people realizing AI was well on its way, even some high-tech people, Elon Musk and others, threw out their warnings. But you know, we're bringing it up because there's a movie coming out this weekend that is applicable to the topic. Yep. And I'll just, there's your setup, and I'll give you the opportunity for the spike.
Yes. Well, the movie is Megan 2. And if you missed Megan 1, which you very well may have, it came out 2 years ago. It's PG-13 horror, sci-fi, thriller movie. And, you know, it has a creepy little doll that is sort of the caretaker and protector for a little girl who has lost her parents. And, it, you know, if you gave it just a quick glance, you would think we were in Chucky territory. I mean, that's kind of the vibe of it. And one of the reasons that we review movies at Plugged In is because sometimes they surprise us. And this one, in some ways, is exactly what you think. It is about this little AI protector doll basically completely running amok. But she does so to protect the little girl that she is assigned to. And so she's acting according to her programming. And we get sort of a reflection on technology going crazy. But also, I think there's a subtext here, Steve, of when we outsource raising our children to technology, what are the implications of that? And so the second one is coming out this weekend. And in the first one, spoiler warning, they have to sort of take Megan offline because she goes crazy. But now there is sort of a hunter-killer, weaponized, very much a Terminator kind of character, and they resurrect Megan to go after her. So I don't know that there's going to be much subtext in this one, honestly. I don't want to give these things too much credit. And, you know, we're in PG-13 horror territory. So there's violence, there's some language. I don't want to sound like I'm saying rush out and see these things. But I do think that the interesting sort of segue into where we're at today is that things that seem like science fiction not that long ago, whether we're talking 1984 when Terminator came out, whether we're talking 1999 with The Matrix, all of a sudden, you know, just like you said, we're inching closer to technology that doesn't seem so far-fetched. And I think that's one conversation, but the technology that is right here, right now, is all of this AI stuff, and our kids are growing up with it, and I think that they are growing up in a world in which technological shortcuts abound, and as parents, one of our challenges is, okay, how do we help our kids navigate an even braver new world than it was when we were growing up, Steve?
Yeah. And, you know, you bring up, you kept going back, you know, you didn't quite get to Star Trek, but you did get to Brave New World and, yep. And Jules Verne's before that.
Exactly.
And, you know,
exactly.
The creative process has seemed to encourage technology and science, to a certain degree. And yeah, you know, I love that, Plugged In and Focus on the Family is thinking of ways, as you mentioned, to approach discussions with our kids on these topics. You know, I think it's real easy to, you know, I'm not going to use AI. Well, there's a good chance you already are. You may not even realize it. Are we sticking our heads in the sand? If we're not having these discussions with our kids that, you think it's high tech now, If you know anything about the technology curve, how scary it really can be if, as we think about them growing through this.
No, that's exactly right. And my kids are 14, 16, and 18. I have a son at Grand Canyon University. He's studying cybersecurity. So we're right in the thick of all this. And the other night, I came out and my 14-year-old was having a FaceTime conversation with her cousin. We've recently moved from Colorado to California, but they have a Bible study and they actually go for hours. And this is a great way that technology enables them to maintain their relationship. So it's not about it's all bad, it's all horrible, phones are always bad in every circumstance, right? There are ways that technology closes the relationship gap and the information gap that are incredibly redemptive. But over the course of that conversation, I was in the kitchen making dinner. I was just eavesdropping a little bit, and I realized that my niece had been using ChatGPT to do a lot of the Bible study synthesis that they have been working on together. And so when they got off the phone, I just had a conversation with my daughter about, that's awesome. But, you know, ChatGPT is no different than, you know, we used to be suspicious of Wikipedia, right? It's like you've still got to do your own work. You've got to do your own thinking. You've got to do some of that, your own synthesis. And I think it's that idea of synthesis, of bringing different ideas together and thinking critically about them, where I worry for our kids coming up today. Because if they don't have to think, they don't have to evaluate things critically, because it's all done sort of magically and instantly for them, that's a problem. And to me, that's scarier than the Terminator outcome. You know, God's sovereign over the Terminator thing. If we're all meant to die by robots, that's above my pay grade. But yeah. I do want to be cultivating in my family and with my children, just an understanding that you've got to do your own thinking and that we can't always have AI do it for us. And AI may not always be right. You know, it's only as good as the sources that it's drawing from.
Yeah. Well, as we go through this, it brings to mind, actually, you as a, I always kind of count on you, Adam. If I don't remember the name, you'll figure it out and remember the movie. But there was a animated movie. Was it The Robot? Was it WALL-E? Yeah. Where WALL-E. Society had essentially launched themselves. They were all sitting around in chairs wearing essentially AI, the goggles that they were, you know, living their lives and just sitting in a chair getting fat.
Yep.
And practice makes permanent. And, you know, when I think of, counting on AI, literally. So sure, you could say literally fat, but brain fat, where, you know, practice makes permanent. And if you're not practicing good things, you know, and the Bible reminds us, whatever is pure, whatever, think on these things, think on these things and come, let us reason together, not hand it over to another entity to do that for us. So there are some dangers and there's some, things we should be talking to our kids about. And what are some, what are some things that, outside of, pick up a book and read it, do the work yourself. What other things would you encourage parents to work on with the kids?
Well, I would work on conversation and I would work on critical and evaluative conversation. And here's what I mean by that, Steve. Don't just watch a movie. Let your kids know, hey, we're going to watch this movie or a TV show together. And when we get done, we're going to talk about it. And I'm going to ask you some questions. And so even just basic questions like, who did you identify with? What did you think about the choices that they made? What do you think the consequences would be in the real world if somebody did what those characters did? Because so often consequences, you know, fly out the window for the sake of a happy ending. But what we're doing by doing that is we're modeling critical thinking and we're moving beyond just a passive consumptive stance into an active engaged stance with the things that we choose entertainment wise. And I think that's a huge shift, right? That so much of technology is really aimed at just getting us to consume more. I go back to WALL-E, like you were talking about that scene, you know, they have this, the chain store by and large, right? That they just become fat consumers. And I think that so much of what's targeted at us is trying to get us to buy something. And so just helping our kids learn to think critically about the ideas and the world that we're living in. And sometimes when my kids come to me and say, well, I read such and such, or I saw such and such on social media, my first question is, what is the source? And is that a credible source? So really encouraging them to think critically as opposed to just swallowing whatever comes their way, because that's what those who are creating that content want us to do, is to just to consume it uncritically. And so as parents, we've got to be cultivating that active engagement with our kids, with entertainment, with news, with social media.
Very good. Well, Adam Holtz has been our guest with Focus on the Family's Plugged In. And, you know, now that we've encouraged everyone, Adam, to pick up a book and have conversations, can you aim us online at resources that would address this topic?
Yeah, you can come to PluggedIn.com. And we are, of course, a ministry of Focus on the Family. And our team recently published a book with Focus on the Family called Becoming a Screen Savvy Family. And we talk about all of these things in that book. And you can find that at the Focus on the Family bookstore at focusonthefamily.com.
Very good. Adam, always great to get caught up with you. Look forward to having you on again soon.
Sounds great, Steve. Thanks so much.
And thank you for listening to ABQ Connect.
ABQ Connect is a production of KLYT. The views expressed on ABQ Connect do not necessarily reflect the views of the staff or management of KLYT.